Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Infinite Loopcast. It's me, Fleisch, and I'm joined by Aaron.
Hello!
And there was the potential that we were going to be joined by Cy.
He may turn up, but who
might.
Knows?
So he is officially in the call, but he's not in the call, as it were. So at the moment, it's the two of us, possibly with someone listening but not speaking. And we'll find out later on in the show, I guess, as we go.
Yeah.
Aaron, it's summertime, which means I have not played any games.
Oh, yes, I've been away. It's been 3 weeks since we recorded.
Two.
We missed two weeks?
Yes, yeah, 2 weeks. I guess this is the third
week. This is the third week, effectively, yeah. So, because normally 1 week, but yeah, it's now 3 weeks. But yeah, so even given that time, I was away for a week. I thought, right, I've set the tablet, I've got Shadow installed so I could remote connect to this gaming rig. Stream it over the internet, be fine. They've got Wi-Fi there, great. Connect to the Wi-Fi, off-peak, maximum I get is 700k.
Oh, wow.
During peak times, it was down to, what was it? 70? Nearly dial-up. It was nearly as bad as dial-up.
Yeah,
it was unusable.
56k, right?
Yeah, 56k was
56, that
was the high end of dial-up. Obviously, that's not what we had at start, but yeah.
No.
But yeah, so that was a no-go, because the phone signal was terrible too, so couldn't even 4G it.
I did tell you not to rely on your laptop.
So, yeah. So
because we were hoping
3DS.
To play No Man's Sky, weren't we, when you were away?
Yeah. Yeah, but I couldn't play anything.
No, so I'm still stuck on the first planet, because I'm not allowed to play without you.
Yeah, I've played little on my own save.
Oh, yeah, no,
I've not played on that save. I've played on a separate save.
Yeah. We should be stuck on that planet until we actually manage to boot it up again.
Yeah, boot it up at the same time. Yeah, that's
yeah, I don't think I've really played much. Possibly have played. In fact, I definitely have played Xenoblade Chronicles 2 on the Switch while we were away. This is the thing with the Switch; just fits in with my lifestyle so nicely. I've played a couple of levels on Rogue Trooper, which was the 2000 AD property that was made into a game, probably around 2005, 2006.
Yeah, this is the Redux, is it?
So this is the re-release, the remaster, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, they gave it a certain name, because we interviewed them last year.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
So that's out now on the Switch.
Okay.
And it's just as silly and fun as it was originally.
Yeah, they were saying that a lot of people like it, but not many people played it. So the people that played it liked it, but it just didn't get the coverage.
It's a bit like when Beyond Good and Evil 1 first launched.
Yeah.
Everyone who played it loved it, but then it took years and years and years for it to sort of gain traction. I don't understand why more people didn't play it. Look, it's not it's not a thinking game. It's a mindless shooter. But there's a really fun interplay with the characters, because Rogue, who's your trooper. Can harvest the biochips of his dead comrades and uses them in various bits of tech, so those sort of become alive.
Okay, so they effectively their personality becomes part of that.
Correct.
Tech.
So your backpack and your gun and stuff all start talking to you and interchanging. You gain skills as they learn new stuff, and it's a fun shooter. It was something different, and it was a really fun setting. Rogue Trooper was a great IP anyway, as an IP. And it was a really good comic book to video game. And I don't understand why it was never bigger.
So, yeah, hopefully, because they were doing a couple of different things. Because I think there was a new release, wasn't there? Is that out yet? I can't remember.
No. I don't think any of the 2018 new releases are out.
Because they were doing a new Rogue Trooper as well as the remaster, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's cool.
I'm trying to remember back, because it is nearly a year ago.
So it is, if they're doing that, but, that's something that's worth watching for. But you should play, I think the original one's on my Steam list.
Okay, I might give it a go at some point.
It's worth it. It's not a huge game, because this was in the days before games became ridiculously big.
Yeah.
So it's entirely enjoyable. Oh, that's what they're doing. They're making a Rogue Trooper movie.
Oh, okay. Oh. Thought they were making... Okay.
Duncan Jones is directing it.
Cool. Yeah, you see, I've not played much. Been actually playing some Mass Effect. So I think I mentioned on the last one that I started playing it. But yes. Yeah, I've been continuing playing that. So I've been watching people's playthrough up until the point till they get to where I am, and then I pause theirs. So I've got various YouTube playthroughs just before where I've got to.
Okay, so I need why to are you play doing them. It that way?
Well, because I don't want to... Because I never played Mass Effect 1.
Okay.
So I didn't want to spoil it with a YouTube video, but I want to see the other sides of what I could have done.
Ah, okay.
So I play through my playthrough, but I want to see other people's takes on it. And
oh, that's interesting.
Because I've missed a couple of bits already. I think, oh, I could have done that, or I could have done that. But if I do that, because I found this with Persona 5, if I try and maximise everything, and I try and think about it too much,
you'll burn out.
I freeze. I just can't decide what to do. There's so, you know, because to get the perfect playthrough on one of those games, you have to do exactly the right things at the right times. And really, you can't unless you do a walkthrough. Unless you watch read a walkthrough and say, at this time, do this with this person. This time, do this. And that just ruins the game.
Yeah, so, that's why I always find it interesting to... I just accept that the game is the way I played it, and that's the right way to play it.
Yeah, but obviously the problem with Persona 4, Golden at least, you didn't get the perfect ending unless you did certain things.
You didn't deserve it.
And it was a bit weird, because you had to...
But it means that the perfect ending was the wrong ending for you.
No, because you had... Yeah, the dialogue choices were a bit weird that you had to choose. So I think that was a bit odd. But I think Mass Effect's fine. Although Mass Effect 3, I did end up accidentally killing the wrong people by some choices I made.
It wasn't an accident, was it?
Well, I didn't kill them, but they died in ways because I chose to follow a certain path.
Okay.
So, yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. Obviously, some of that I now know is because I didn't know the backstory completely. Because obviously, playing Mass Effect 1 now, I know some of the backstory between some of the characters.
You should know that. That's cheating.
Well, the idea is you play Mass Effect 1, 2, then 3, rather than play 3, then go back and do 1 and 2. So, yeah, so I'm playing through 1, I'll play then 2 and 3. It'll probably take me a year to get through all those, because I'm not playing huge chunks of time. Playing an hour here and there. So I'm getting through that. Played a bit more Staxel, because I wanted to get back into that. That's quite a nice game. They've added more and more things, and it's coming along quite well.
Have we still got a server for that?
No, I need to I did download the server files. So I have them somewhere, and I'm going to basically spin up my own server here.
Okay.
And forward the ports, and then we'll be good.
Very wise, very good.
Although, I think maybe forwarding the ports was what was causing a problem with Star Trek Bridge Crew. So I think it might use the same ports.
Oh, I don't know. No, because we had problems with Star Trek Bridge Crew before you forwarded the ports.
Oh, very possibly. So
we've never had success with Star Trek Bridge Crew.
No.
But I don't know why that is.
No, but it does seem to be my end.
Oh, that's interesting. You think it's yours?
Well, because I had problems with Simon and I had problems with you.
Yeah, but it might just be the game.
It might just be the game. But what I might do is, next time we try it, I've got a link to my Sky broadband up here. So I can just swap networks.
Okay.
When we want to try it again and see if that's any better. Whether the Virgin router is somehow causing a problem. Maybe I have to port forward on that or something. I don't know. I'll have to have a look. We'll try it out and see if it's any better. Because I was dropping out a lot when I was playing with Simon. More than we were. Okay. We got most of the way through a mission. There we barely got out of dock.
It's really annoying because it's a game that I think would be really fun. But
oh, I think if we all got in it, if all three of us got in it, if we can find a fourth, that would be great. It'd be a great thing for you to man all the stations, rather than relying on the captain to do. Although if you could get it so that you didn't have to have a captain, that'd be even better.
But it'd be chaos because nobody would be directing it.
There is that, but also the captain, if you've got no NPC, doesn't do that much then.
Right.
Because the whole
point...
You've
got people who know what they're doing.
Yeah, because the individual crew can do it. You tell them, because you can read on your screen what they need to do, but you just tell them what to do and then they do it. And the captain then is just basically reading instructions off a list. It's like the comms. What was it? The whole thing in the Star Trek, original Star Trek, was it Uhura?
Yeah.
She kept repeating whatever the computer said.
Yes.
Because that was her role. That was it. So
it's a very important role. At the
it
time,
was
in the limitations
well,
of technology.
Yeah, yeah. It was very strange that that's the role they gave her. Obviously, she did comms as well, but yeah, one of her roles was repeating the computer. But yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what we can do with that. But yeah, so I've played a bit of Staxel, and then GTA. I've been grinding in GTA a fair amount, just to get some money so I can buy a drug factory.
That sounds particularly salubrious.
Yep.
Talking of grinding.
Yep.
In Gamescom.
Yes. Yeah, that's...
not quite sure how that links with grinding. Probably just been a grind. Nothing that major, but there's been a few little bits and bobs that are coming out. Some of which I think the two of us probably have bits to say.
Okay.
So the first thing is, how would you like wireless VR?
Lovely. I'd love it if it was nice price.
What would you say is a nice price? So you bought your Rift or your Vive and your regular one, not the Pro. How much would you say
I
nice
reckon
prices? 100,
150?
Yeah. I would have said 150 would be, you know, pretty much bang on. It adds probably double the flexibility.
Yeah.
£200.
Yes.
For the Vive adapter.
The thing is, you can buy a whole Rift for £350, can't you? With the touch controllers.
And the
all
wires.
The sensors. What?
They even give you the wires.
Yes. Yeah.
It seems like a lot.
That
now, whether or not that's just the list price and when it actually comes to retail, it'll be less. I don't know, but I wouldn't imagine the retail streams for this thing will be so flexible. I think it'll be what it'll be. And
I don't
the other
think they're going to do bulk, are they? Because
I wouldn't have thought it would go to proper retail. I'd imagine it's just through the Vive website or Steam or whatever.
I reckon they'll maybe go Amazon.
Maybe, but so here's the worst part about it.
Yeah.
Vive Pro. You pay what, £800-900 for Vive Pro?
Yeah. But it's just the headset.
£365 for your wireless adapter.
Well, you don't need the Pro for the wireless adapter, do you?
No. That's a separate. But that's
yeah.
So there's two wireless adapters. It's £300 if you've got the regular Vive.
Oh.
£365 if you've got the Pro.
What? Oh, for the higher resolution.
Seems so. Some would say it's 64-bit. I think it's too expensive. I don't think it's marketable. I'm talking about things that are too expensive. Magic Leap.
Oh.
I mean,
the people I've heard that have played with it aren't impressed.
Right.
Because the field of view is tiny.
Yeah, I mean it's a slightly smaller version of HoloLens, right?
Yeah.
It just looks
you want it to fill
bizarre.
Your field of view.
Yeah.
Otherwise, but, it's not immersive.
So clearly, they're not up to that stage yet. Although, I feel like the principles of that tech are really exciting.
Oh,
because
well,
if you think that, yeah, that's a first-generation attempt.
Yeah. I think I do like the idea of AR. I personally don't find a use for it.
Not yet. There will be. It'll be ubiquitous, I'm sure. Once those sort of glasses things like the Magic Leap go down to normal or slightly bigger glasses size, I think it will take off immensely, but not at the starting price of $2,300. So essentially £2,000 these days.
Yeah. If it was the price of a TV, maybe an expensive TV, then I could use it as a TV or as extra screen.
It's an expensive TV.
Yeah. Yeah, I could have a TV anywhere in the house.
Yeah, it's slightly outside the realms of reality. However, I do think that is going to be the future for VR.
Because
you can presumably occlude.
I don't think
you can essentially do VR as well as AR, right?
It depends on the processing in it, whether you can send a separate image to each eye. I assume you must have to be able to project in 3D on different surfaces. Mm. You've got to make it look like it is on that surface, so you've got to produce a 3D image. Because it's got to be slightly different, so it appears that it's on that location, haven't you? You've got to fool the mind into thinking that vase is actually sitting on that table. That's the whole point. It's not just a flat screen in front of your face, is it? It's not Google Glass.
No, well, no. I mean, Google Glass wasn't even that, was it?
Well, Google Glass was just projecting a set of information for you to read while you're seeing other things.
Yes.
This is augmented reality, so you're trying to project virtual things onto real space. So you're going to have to be 3D. So in theory, yes, if you could make...
No, you could project a 2D sprite into 3D space.
Yeah, no, but the whole idea is to project a 3D space. Obviously, if you can project a 3D image into 3D space, you can project a 2D image. You just make it a flat 3D. So you can do either one. But the idea is, if you can do a 3D image in 3D space, that's what AR is all about. That's what a lot of the uses are, is to visualize what a 3D object would like in your space.
Ooh.
So, you know, car design. Have an empty warehouse and project the image of the car you're making into that warehouse so you can walk around it and have a look at that virtual car. So you can, you know, judge scale and judge the lines and all that.
Yeah, lot. I think it's got... obviously, it's got sort of enterprise applications.
Yeah.
I think in terms of gaming, I think it's really exciting because you could be sat at your desk and suddenly there's, you know... Do you remember Microsoft patent years ago? I think it was for Kinect originally, but it's obviously where HoloLens came from, where they were going to project images around the room and the screen would be like your fovea would be your sort of central fixation.
Yeah, well, there was that Happy Action Theatre, wasn't there?
That had
lava filling up your room. You had to climb up the furniture and stuff to escape the lava.
Yes.
Because it showed you your room and you in it and you climbing. So there was... Yeah, that sort of thing is interesting. And as a shared experience as couch co-op, that would be quite interesting as well.
If you were to sit at your desk and you know, the Magic Leap was to project your cockpit from Elite in front of you and you were to just be in Elite with your glasses on, that would be amazing, right?
Well, no.
Why?
Because my desk is full of rubbish.
Yeah, but your desk, you wouldn't be able to see your desk because there would just be so much Elite stuff in front of you.
Well, no, because they'd have to project it above my desk at such a height that it clears all the rubbish. Because obviously the stuff is still there, so if I have to press a button that is below all the crap that's on my desk, I can't do that. Because it's the same thing with VR, isn't it? You have to have a nice clear space.
The height of stuff.
Yeah, you have to protect the height of stuff, and then effectively build the keyboard, build the cockpit above my desk, above all the stuff that's on my desk.
Mm.
It could be done. It's just that it'd be very difficult to do, because what would work for a cockpit for my desk wouldn't work for your desk. Because we all have slightly different desks and spaces.
Yeah,
and...
I'll stop trying to think of logical holes in the argument and just embrace it.
It's a really nice idea. However, the practicalities are that you'll just end up doing VR. You just build the entire cockpit out of 3D stuff.
Stop being such a VR remainer. Get on my reality Rexit.
But
reality exit.
I did like the idea of Minecraft, but it requires, again, some sort of blank slate for them to project onto.
Rexit means Rexit.
But yeah, if you could put the glass as... I've seen these windows that effectively have a... You pass a small current through it and they go completely opaque.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
so
yeah,
you could do the same on the glasses. Obviously,
you
maybe don't want to, because of, you know... Obviously, you probably wouldn't want to wear these driving or anything like that.
External factors.
Yes, external factors. Yeah. Although, maybe if you could use these and have sat-nav project your directions on the road...
Yeah.
That would be amazing. So you can see the arrows actually on the road, and it tells you what lane you're supposed to be
in.
Yeah,
that would be cool. I kickstarted years ago a heads-up display mirror for putting on your dashboard.
Oh, okay, that projected onto your
windscreen. Yeah, so you put your phone on the plate, and then it bounced off the mirror, you know, the see-through mirror type thing.
Okay.
And it worked quite well. You had to use a specific thing. You had to use their app. But it was quite cool. It did feel a bit like being a fighter pilot for a small time.
Yeah. That would be great if they could guarantee it. Obviously, you wouldn't potentially... Maybe you just make the VR thing just a cover that, you know, you put over the top. Because that'd be the more sensible solution. Just have a pair of dark glasses you put over the top. But yeah, the idea... Yeah, I can't see why you can't have an AR... pair of AR glasses that just turn into VR if you need it. If that's what you're using.
Yes, that's exactly what I meant.
Although, to be honest, if you just filled the screen, if you've got full field of view encapsulation, you just fill the screen with stuff. And then you wouldn't need to make it...
Yeah, no, but that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. Oh, okay, you say put the background. Yeah, I was thinking put an overlay over so that you don't need to... put
overlay,
black on the
but you say
thing,
overlay,
yeah.
I say background. Or you
yeah,
say
yeah,
background,
but
whatever.
It depends on the field of view. If you've got 100% field of view, you could do it via.
You should know
pictures.
By now, Aaron. I'm a man of practicalities.
Yeah. So yeah, yeah, but it depends. If they're going to be $2,500, no, I'll stick with my VR. Thank you.
You enjoy your salty. VR headset. Well, I enjoy my Switch. Do you know what? Do you know the Switch? I feel like it's just getting so much stuff, and it's all portable, and it's all brilliant. Like they're getting Diablo 3 now. I don't know why I said they. It's getting Diablo 3, which all right, it's an old game.
It's a very old
game. My God, as a portable game, that would be lovely. And then they had all these indie games that they were showing off this week. Have you seen Morphe's Law?
No.
So it's a shooter where when you shoot and hit someone, you get bigger, and when you get shot by someone, you get smaller.
Okay.
So the more damage you're taking, the smaller you get, i.e. you get harder to hit, and the more damage you do, the bigger you are, the more damage you do because you're bigger, but the more often you'll get hit.
Yeah.
And it sort of plays on that, so... You can be shot in the leg and your legs will get bigger, and so you can jump further and stuff like that.
Okay.
I haven't actually looked if it's on Steam. It looks brilliant. like completely bonkers, and I think it would take a good few rounds to get your head into it. But it just looks phenomenal. It's not on Steam. It just looks phenomenal. It looks really good, and then and that sort of thing is what I love about the Switch. It's the level of indie support it's getting. I mean, it's getting Escapist, all right, again, an older thing. But you know, the Switch version here is available before the PC version, and slowly, the Switch is gaining more and more traction with stuff. What else was there? There was three thingies before midnight, 3 minutes to midnight, which is a point and click again. It looked lovely. There was another point and click. There was something with Vikings where you got to defend your thing, and it was just one good thing after the Bad North. That's what it was called. It was just one beautiful looking indie game after the other, and they all look so compelling, and they're all coming out now. That's it. There was a Paris Taxi point and click adventure that looked great. People are losing their mind over a game called Monster Boy.
Okay.
Which I think is out on the PC. I don't quite know what it is. It looks like a adventure platformer. If that's an EGX, that'd be quite fun. What was that other point and click with the two people and you sort of exist in the mirror universe?
Broken Age.
No. The Garden in Between.
Okay, no.
Or The Garden Between, something like that. Looks awesome. So part of the world happens forwards, and then part of the world seems to happen backwards, and you've got to use those forwards and backwards mechanics to solve the game.
Okay.
I mean, seriously, looks just amazing. And it's out in a month.
Yeah, the thing is, there are so many amazing games on the PC that we don't see because it's Steam.
Yeah, but they don't. Yes, there are, correct, and Steam is a problem. But more to the point, you can't take your PC with you in the same way. I'm going to clarify. I'm going to say a laptop. way,
my tablet. Yeah,
you can take a Switch.
It's not
the same. The Switch is all built into one. It's not the same size as a tablet. It's smaller than a tablet. It's probably more durable because it is built with kids in mind. And it's got cool stuff like Everspace, which is almost like a leety, shooty, flyy, spacey game. And what else was there? There was some weird grammar game where you change the words and stuff happens, a bit like Typo Man. There's Windjammers, which people are losing their mind about, that I don't really understand. And Prison Architects coming to it. And all these games that just work so well on this portable form factor. And this Morphe's Law.
Yeah.
I mean, that's come out of nowhere for me, and it's just such a clever take on a shooter or on a game where you damage each other. Do you know what I mean? A damage-based game.
Yeah.
See, because it's got a natural balancing mechanic in it.
So that's all great, but I've got my tablet, and it plays all my Switch games.
Your tablet doesn't have a cool theme tune like this.
Huh? And it's silence.
Yeah, it didn't work. I'm just so excited with the Switch.
Yeah.
Really, and for me, as I said, in terms of sort of my lifestyle, and I'm very busy at the moment. It just works, the same way that the 3DS worked. Like you could just stick it in your bag and it's there, and you could whip it out, play 5 minutes, and just stick it away again.
Yeah,
it just worked really well. There's a couple of really cool. I'm just really enjoying it, to the point where now it's getting Monster Hunter. I think that's out this week, maybe. And it's got Akami. Like, there's a lot of stuff on the Switch that I've never played a game or never really been able to play. And it's now, it's there, it's available, it's accessible, and I can play it.
Yeah, you see,
and I'm excited.
I did consider getting one, because work have given us the opportunity to get some vouchers for PC World.
Do it. Just get a Switch, honestly.
I don't see the point.
The kids will love it. Even if you end up not using it so much,
they don't care.
They will.
No, they don't. Because they've got Mario Kart, they've got Zelda, and they're playing that on the Wii U.
But there's more to the Switch than that now. So much more.
But
there's games for you to play, Aaron. There's Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Aaron, this is your game.
I've got all those games already.
You haven't got Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
No, but I've got Xenoblade Chronicles.
You've not got Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
No. But I don't need it because I've never played Xenoblade Chronicles.
It doesn't matter because Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is
I wouldn't play that one either.
No, I wouldn't. And then this year, it's getting Monster Hunt. This is its Christmas lineup, right? This is in the run up to Christmas. I think there's one a month from here on in. There's Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Mario Party, which, alright, limited market. Pokemon. Two new versions of that.
Yeah.
Disgaea. Did I say that right? Disgaea?
Disgaea? I don't know how to pronounce
that. Yeah, that whole of that one's coming out, apparently. And Smash Brothers in time for Christmas.
Okay.
And on top of that, you've got Mario. You know, you've got Mario Odyssey, Splatoon, Zelda. You've got all the games that have been out already.
You see, the thing is, they just don't. It's not for me. The indie games are the only ones I'd play, and I've already got those available on PC.
But it's a beast of a machine for that, and it's the form factor's better.
What than my tablet?
Yeah. Yes, it is better than your tablet, actually. Yeah, I am going to.
It doesn't play Elite. My tablet plays Elite.
This will play that shooty spy game that I just mentioned before. Plus, it will play the one from Ubisoft, which has got the Star Fox add-on bits.
Yeah, but it doesn't play.
And it's got Labo. Come on, your kids would love making stuff out of cardboard.
They would love it for about half an hour, and then that's it. It'll get trashed.
No, it will just go upstairs into the study with you and never be seen again by anyone else. Because you will fall in love with it.
No.
Melt your icy heart, Aaron.
No, I'm not wasting £300 on a piece of stuff that I'll play for half an hour. Because the thing is, if...
You're missing out. You're missing out.
If I was a big Nintendo fan...
Yeah. No, but... That's the thing with the Switch. It's not relying on the Nintendo games anymore. It is getting other games.
It's getting the indie games.
No.
Okay.
Monster Hunter.
Okay.
I'm trying to.
You're trying to think of another one.
Well, Elder Scrolls. The thing is, I don't play those sort of games, so I don't. I couldn't really list it. Like Diablo 3, I guess, is another one that's coming out. That's a big one.
Was a big one, yeah.
I don't really play that sort of thing. I like the indie games.
I like the indie games, but the thing is, I've already got a device that I can take anywhere.
No, you don't.
I do.
You don't.
I take my tablet everywhere.
No, you don't.
I do. Nope. Trust me. It's in my bag.
Do you take it to the toilet?
Sometimes.
How often?
Not very often.
You do it more than once a week? Once a week? Less than once a week?
About once a week.
Or less frequently?
More than I do my 3DS.
Aaron, the Switch has got Octopath Traveler. I don't even know why we're debating this. It's got Xenoblade Chronicles 2, Octopath Traveler, Monster Hunter. Like, it's the ideal console for you.
No, because I haven't...
It's got Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2.
Yes. I've finished Bayonetta 2.
Yeah, you haven't played Bayonetta 1, have you?
I have. I've got it on PC.
Shut up.
I spoke on it.
It's got Dragon Quest Builders. It's got Fire Emblem. It's got...
Yeah, well, you see, you're listing games I've started
Mario
playing.
Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
Yeah,
it's
see.
It's got...
XCOM.
Lost Sphere. It's got I Am Setsuna.
Yeah,
it's like an RPG beast.
It is.
You're just... Why aren't you playing it? Why don't you have
because
one?
Because I have lots of RPGs I've not
because
finished on
wrong.
PC.
No. No, and when the time comes, when I don't know,
see,
The Handmaid's Tale becomes a reality and everyone's forced to play the Switch instead of the Handmaid's Tale stuff, then you will pay the price.
No.
Unbeliever.
I shall have a better tablet by then and just play that instead.
In your face. Anyway, talking of stuff that we're not going to argue about, NVIDIA.
NVIDIA, yeah, new...
RTX.
New GPUs. Yeah, ray tracing.
well, that's fun.
Well, we'll see if anyone supports it.
£500 introductory price.
It's not 500 though, is it?
I thought it's 499 is the 2017.
Is it?
That might be the founders edition. It might be 399 for the regular edition.
No, I don't think it is. I think it's more than that.
No.
Because the 2080 is going for 780.
No, I know, but it's not. The Founders Edition is different pricing. Hold on, let me.
That's what it's going for on.
I will go and find it. Aaron, come on, tell us, what is ray tracing and why should we care?
Well, ray tracing is tracing the rays of light from the light source to your eye. Or rather, backwards.
So from your eye to the source.
Yes, because obviously, if you trace it from the source to your eye.
Cards.
Yeah.
2070 is 569.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And that would be 469 on release. As in non-founders. That's pounds.
Okay, that's not bad. 500. That's.
450 for a not top level graphics card. That's bonkers money.
That's what the 1070 was.
The 2080 Ti Founders Edition is coming out at 1099.
Yeah.
Do you want that or the iPhone X?
I probably prefer that. to be honest.
Stupid prices, isn't it?
It is. It is ridiculous.
So yeah, ray tracing.
Yeah,
it's
so
meant to make stuff look better, right?
It is. Yes. Well, it makes the light look more realistic.
Go better?
Yeah. You see, what people do at the moment is bake it in. So you ray trace at the moment, but you ray trace when you build the level.
Mm-hmm.
And you trace the rays it when you build the level, and then you bake it in. So you bake in shadows. So the shadows are already there. And then you simulate other shadows, but not obviously not ray tracing, but you pretend that you're ray tracing other shadows in. Obviously you can do a bit of ray tracing now. You can do all ray tracing, it'll just take you forever to render each frame, because I do some ray tracing when I'm trying to do some 3D modelling, but that takes forever just to do one image, let alone.
So my concern with this as a consumer product is that it's going to release before there's actually use cases for it.
Oh yes, there is.
Like, but it's an investment in the future type thing. Like, you're assuming that ray tracing is going to be a big thing, right?
Yeah, and if they push it hard enough, it will be. Because GeForce have a fair size of the market.
Do they?
I believe so. I'm betting that they will get their chips on the next consoles.
No, apparently that's AMD.
Is it?
Mm.
You see, that's the thing. If
they are in the Switch, though.
If ray tracing is on the next consoles, it will become a thing.
Can you imagine if it's on the next Switch? I'm assuming not, because I think that the 2080 Ti requires a minimum 650 watt power supply just for the graphic card.
I should imagine it requires a lot of power.
But I guess that this is the tick, right?
I reckon that the pure power is ridiculous anyway, because I think they've got about 11 gigs of RAM anyway, haven't they? For the 2080? I don't know about the Ti.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a lot. There's a lot of memory being thrown at these things. And there's a lot of power as requirements. For me, this is an interesting launch, and I think when they release the 7-nanometer process to do the same thing, that's when stuff will get really interesting, because that will be able to pull the same weight with much much less power draw, right?
Yeah. Also, the heat is obviously a concern, because if you're drawing that much power, you've got to disperse the amount of heat.
The heat somewhere.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Because that's the problem I had with the AMD cards. When I had the R9 290, the heat generated off that, I had to put extra fans in my case.
That's bonkers.
Just to cope cope with the extra heat coming off the thing.
You'd think that AMD have got to be doing something, right? Because the Vega hasn't really taken off, has it?
No.
What are they going to do?
Well, they're doing quite well on CPUs at the moment.
Okay, what, Ryzen?
Ryzen and Threadripper are doing quite well. They've just
Such
released
a great name
Threadripper
CPUs.
2.
Threadripper.
Because Threadripper 2 is just the power with it. It's, obviously, it's really expensive at the moment. But it's only
whenever you say that, you know, I do think of the Emperor from Star Wars.
But,
Unrivaled power.
I'm thinking of going to Ryzen next time. Going to Ryzen 7.
I'll let you take the plunge and then I'll make a decision. Because Intel are launching, launched new or announced new chips, right?
Well, the Gen 9s. Yeah, but they're really expensive.
Huge evolution.
Yeah, and then really expensive for what you can get out of a Ryzen. I think for the price you're going to pay for those, you'll be able to get a Threadripper. I know, they're just amazing.
Are they good for gaming, or are they just good for processing?
It depends. Like, it depends whether the game has threading, how high threaded they are. Because the thing about the Threadrippers are they're going for, you know, 18 threads and 12 threads and things like this. Even your base Ryzens can do 6 core, 12 threads. So your Threadrippers are up to, you know, 24, 36, 32 threads. So if your game has that many threads in it, obviously it'll make use of it. If not, you're wasting CPU. You've got CPU power there that you can't utilise with your game. Because obviously if you're playing an old game, it'll be a single thread.
Yes.
And it will only run on that one thread. And therefore, you know, if you've got a 32-thread machine, 31 of those 32 threads are sitting idle, just doing your CPU, doing your operating system stuff.
What shitty threads.
So, it's interesting. We're going to see a lot more multi-threaded stuff coming in, which is what obviously Sony wanted back in PS3 days.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that was a little bit ambitious.
They're a little ahead of their time, a little bit ambitious.
Just fractionally.
Pricey cell processing, you know.
Just fractionally. Who is it that's turning the screws on Sony at the moment? Is it Bethesda? I think it's Bethesda.
Okay.
They're releasing a card game, aren't they? I think it's Elder Scrolls Legends, maybe? And they've basically said that if a platform won't allow cross-platform play, they will not launch on it.
Oh, okay.
And they said that's not a dig at Sony at all. But it's...
But they do allow cross-platform play, not with Xbox.
Yeah, no, they want they want you to be able to pick this up on any platform, anywhere, anytime.
Okay.
Does that make sense? I hope it makes sense, because that's what I'm going to say on the matter. Steam launching a Twitch competitor, so that's nice. And more importantly, Time Splitters has a new owner.
Okay.
Koch Media. Remember Koch Media? Released Homefront.
All right, yeah.
They've picked up the license for Time Splitters, and apparently there's rumours that they might be releasing Time Splitters Remastered.
Okay.
Sort of get familiar with the games and stuff, and then there might be a new Time Splitters game in the running, so that's nice. Talking of remasters, Burnout Paradise Remaster.
Yeah.
Is out finally on the PC. $17.99 if you've never owned it before, but if you own Burnout Paradise on Origins and you've at least booted it up once, it drops to $4.49.
I do own it somewhere. I don't know whether it's Origin.
I think it needs to be on Origin.
Because I own it somewhere, because I have played it on PC.
I may or may not have a spare Origin copy lying around in my humble library, Aaron.
But if it hasn't been started...
Don't worry about it.
I've got Burnout Paradise Ultimate Box on Steam.
EGX is coming up.
It is! And we're there?
We are going to be there.
Thursday and Friday, at least.
Yes. There's two games I'm going to give a nod to this show.
Okay.
Card Life. Seen this?
No.
It's a survival game, by the looks of things.
Okay.
But it's all done with card craft. So, a bit like Papercraft, but card craft.
Okay, like, Core.
Tearaway.
Tearaway, that's the one.
Where everything's in corrugated cardboard, and it looks really cool. It's an online... this is its blurb. Card Life is an online multiplayer survival game set in a cardboard science fantasy world. Think dragons, mechs, magic lasers, and dinosaurs. Play by yourself or with others as you explore a fully editable, handcrafted world. Encounter and battle a host of fantastical creatures and craft your own creations using our unique Connect the Dots crafting... Ooh, that sounds interesting. A unique Connect the Dots crafting system where you can draw customizable cardboard shapes that slot together to create new tools, building prefab, weapons, vehicles, creature companions, and much, much more. Sounds really interesting, right?
Does. Online multiplayer survival. So not an MMO?
No. Rust.
Not another Rust.
But you can craft in cardboard, and it looks amazing.
It does look great, but Rust.
No, don't be... don't. Okay, yeah, I should use Rust as an analogy, but it does look great.
Rust, Ark, all of those. I just... yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
You should become a founder, Aaron.
We'll have to see.
I'll do it if you do.
We shall see.
Become a founder, Aaron.
How much does that cost? It doesn't say yet. Oh, $9.99. I'll have a look.
And Aaron, the other game that I want to give a shout out to, because I really like the look of it when we were looking at what's on, is Primetime Detective.
Okay, that's another one I didn't.
So I've clicked on every single link on the
okay.
On the page at the moment, which, again, like last year, there's just not much stuff on
it's
at the moment.
There's not much there, no.
Oh,
it takes you to the Twitter.
So it takes you to the Twitter, but look at some of these drawings. So it looks like a badly drawn, intentionally badly drawn, and genius. What's it called when stuff procedurally generated TV-style primetime detective show where you've got to connect dots and solve the mysteries and the whodunits? Looks brilliant. I like the look of this, Aaron, and I want you to be nice to them.
We shall see.
You can tell Prime Dying Detectives in Card Life if they wish to talk to me and have me spout lyrical about them on the show, then they should let me.
We shall have a look. I shall try and book them in.
Yeah,
so Catastronauts are there. I interviewed them last at Rezzed. That was quite fun. Quite enjoyed playing that. That's basically you're trying to fix a spaceship. Your cats in a spaceship, and you're trying to... it's a multiplayer, Overcooked style thing, and you've got to basically multiplayer run around a ship trying to fix things. And shoot lasers at the same time. It's great.
Oh, a bit like
co-op type.
What's that game? Lovers on a Dangerous Space Time.
Possibly, I haven't seen that one.
That was good.
But yeah, so there's... I think it's four player, and you're running around trying to...
Is it online?
I don't know.
Have a look.
I remember asking him about that, but I don't know whether he actually gave me an answer.
So I'm all for couch co-op, but there are times when you can't couch co-op and you want to be able to play multiplayer.
I think it was couch co-op, but they were thinking of doing online.
Talking of which, does Overwatch 2 have online multiplayer? Ever make it in? Not Overwatch, Overcooked.
I think it does. But it doesn't have chat. You can emote.
On what? Overcooked?
Yeah, Overcooked 2.
Online multiplayer, yes.
Yes.
Is it cross-platform?
I don't know.
If I got it on the Switch...
Fogs was another one we... oh, we didn't interview them. We did play that. Me and my son played Fogs. It's a weird puzzle game where you play two ends of the same dog. It's a two-headed dog. and effectively you basically co-op play. You can play it single player with two analog sticks, but yeah, the best way is to play two player, each one of you having one of the heads of the dog to play. That was quite fun. Mm-hmm. I did say we'd interview Pocket Pals. I said we'd have them on the show, but we never actually ended up.
I want to find out more about this card life, Aaron.
Okay. Well, we'll ask them for an interview, and we'll see how we get on.
Yes. I like this connect the dots crafting. I like this. This is something that I like.
Yes. It sounds interesting. Obviously, if it turns out like like Rust or Ark to be quite brutal survival based, then
I'll let you know, Aaron,
because we'll see. Okay, you've gone in, have you?
Yep.
I shall see if I go in. At the moment I'm planning to be away this weekend, so I need to prep for that. But yeah, next week I shall have a look at starting to book us in for these things. Because Gamescom will be out of the way. The thing
not too many. He's not too many.
I know. We'll see. So you want one every half hour, yeah? Throughout the day?
Don't know. No. From 10 to... No, not that again.
We did that, didn't we? And that was
you could do that for like nightmare. 2 hours, and then I want a good couple of hours to actually get to mooch around Rezzed and the left field collection, what they call it.
The thing is, you have too much. The thing is, it doesn't matter too much, because if you find that we have enough spare time, we can just get interviews on the day. If you go into Rezzed and say, are you free for an interview? They will say yes, or can you do this time?
Do you know what I wish they had?
What's that?
Couches that we could. Do you remember when we did that Endless Space 2 interview?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we sat down with the guys
the scriptwriter, the storyteller. That was the best interview ever, because we could actually sort of sit and relax and have a nice chat.
Yeah.
I think we should have interview couches. Can you email I've forgotten who it is, Eurogamer, and just tell them that we need an interview couch.
Maybe we take our own.
Oh, that'd be good.
We could see if we can get a camping couch and just take
camping
our
couch.
Own.
Yeah, with
or
some
one
string.
Of those blow-up just, ones.
It could just follow us around.
Yeah. That'd be great if we could. If we could put helium in a camping blow-up couch and have it hover above us and just bring it down for when we need a couch to have an interview on.
That is your job before next week.
Before next week? I'm away camping, but yeah.
Alright,
you've
got
see.
2 weeks. Two weeks.
I'll see what we can do.
I want a helium couch.
Helium couch? I did have a tub of helium at one point, but yeah, we'll see.
Well, Aaron, anything you put your mind to, you can do. Aaron, you've updated the website.
I have, only slightly. I've made it a bit more orange, updated our logos, changed the YouTube plugin, so it looks slightly better. I'm looking at whether we carry on with articles, because we haven't produced an article for 4 years.
No, we don't do articles.
5 years.
Anymore.
So the old ones are still there. So I'm looking to either find a way of producing articles without us spending too long on them,
yep,
or just remove them completely and come up with some other way. So what I might do is we might do a preview. So every time one of us plays a new game, get us to fill in a impressions review, not a full review, but just an impressions of the first half hour of each game, and then we'll upload those. And then we could have a stash of impressions.
Very good.
And maybe I'll do some more 10-minute teasers, which is effectively that, but video form.
You should do that, Aaron.
Yes.
If you don't do that, you've let yourself down and you've let the show down.
Yeah.
Do you know how you could redeem yourself?
What's that?
Telling people where they can go to the website.
TheInfiniteLoopCast.com.
Where can people follow you?
I'm at AaronHUK.
You can follow me at Flysheek, that's FLEISCHYY. You can follow the entire show at
The infinite, the loop casters.
Yeah, I nearly got it wrong.
Nearly.
Get in touch if you do want us. If you're an indie dev and you want us to come and see a game and ask you why you're doing that, what that is and why that is and stuff like that. What is that game, and that
sort of stuff.
Yeah.
We'll have to have a new one for this show, this event.
We'll think of some sort of confectionery item that you can compare your games to. Get in touch over on the loopcasters@hotmail.com.
It is.
I'm installing Card Life. You've been great. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Aaron, get a switch.